answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
These would be consistent with my thinking. I would only reverse it in the following order. The Straits of Hormuz, it would have to come first, because what they're doing there is unlawful and illegal to begin with. That has to open immediately. And that has to open immediately in exchange, not for anything else other than us lifting the blockade. We have a blockade on Iranian oil leaving. And the reason why we have a blockade on Iranian oil leaving is because they closed the Straits. If they open the Straits, and by open the Straits, understand what we're saying. It's saying you're not going to threaten to shoot at commercial vessels of civilians and create, you know, ecological disaster. That's what they're doing. It's unlawful. It's illegal. It's outrageous. Every country in the world condemns it. If they end that, we lift the blockade. Then we enter into the second phase, which is the nuclear question. On enrichment, they don't have to. They don't need to enrich. If what they want is a nuclear energy program, they can have one without enrichment. And it was somebody the other day, it's a few questions ago, I forgot who it was, said that what we're working on is similar to JCPOA. It is not. JCPOA would have expired this year. And it allowed them to keep all the enrichment equipment that they needed. And clearly that equipment could get them to 60 and 90% because they've done it to 60% as a result of it.
That is Senator, correction, that is Secretary of State Rubio addressing a question from Senator Ted Cruz in his first appearance before the Senate since the, quote, war began. And he's talking about the Strait of Hormuz, how important that is. That's important to the international world as well as Iran having nuclear weapons. And as he was making it clear, we need to get the Strait open, keep it open for the world as a whole. That's why we have our naval armada in place, and we're making sure that Iran does not close down the strait. It is international waters, but Iran wants to claim it as its own waters. It cannot do so. And he made it very clear that that's something we need to do. And, of course, we need to make sure we stop them from enriching more uranium and try to get it out of the material, out of the country. If Iran wants to have a peaceful nuclear program to bring themselves out of the Stone Age, I'm all for it. But the Iran regime as it exists now, they want that capability to go ahead and enrich it to bomb grade level, and while they are still in the Stone Age, bomb you into the hell of the Stone Age. It is clear as that, and yet you've got leftist lackeys that just can't seem to grasp that idea. Right in their face. Oh, but speaking about in their face, this is something even CNN could not ignore. I'm looking at their homepage. It'll be changed by the time you look at it. But as I'm looking at right now, in the center of their homepage, big headlines, U.S. economy added 172,000 jobs in May, shattering expectations. Oh, don't you know? Don't you know they think, oh, my God, we don't want to put that on, but how can we ignore it? They can't ignore it. It's everywhere. 170,000 new jobs, which we talked about the other day. Now, when the Biden administration was in place, if they had 170,000 jobs added, they were all government jobs for the most part, because they were busy regulating many small businesses out of operation and regulating big businesses so they could not expand. And CNN has to suck it up and say, U.S. economy added 172,000 jobs, shattering expectations. I love it. I absolutely love it. Hey, welcome to hour number one. Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, June 5, 2026. And as usual, charging out the gate like a bull. If you've never listened to this program, you're going to find it very difficult to find a place where you're going to quit listening. I guarantee you, because you're going to be caught up and say, I got to hear the next part. Yes, we build it that way. But I have an answer for you. If you have to break away, you cannot stay with us. Every program goes up as a podcast later. And we're streaming video while I'm speaking right now. You can watch the program. I encourage you to do it. Yeah, I get a little excited on the air. But go ahead and watch us on News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. But again, if you miss anything, you can go back to Newstalk STL, pull up the podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. We make it available. And you will not be disappointed because, I tell you, we shift gears a lot, and so many things are interlocked that you got to hear the next part of the next story or the next item we promote. You know why? Because I want you to be there. I had one guy one time years ago on TV. He was saying, you, that program you're doing on your series of what it was, you said the next part tomorrow. You could have told us the whole thing tonight. You're just trying to make us watch. My answer, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what we're doing. And that's what we do on this program. But at the same time, we deliver. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have as you begin that hour. So what do we have coming up in our next hour? Let me give you an idea here. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be looking at, God, I don't know. I haven't gotten there. I don't know what I'm adding yet. I'm still putting the program together. No, I do. I know. And it's going to be dealing with a lot of what's happening with the Democrats as they continue to try to steal elections and everything else. That'll be part of the next hour. And the fascinating story about how we got the German code machine, Enigma. You've seen it in the movies. It's been talked about. We'll have that as well. But also, we're going to get into the effort to take away one of the most popular pistols used in America, the Glock. That story will be coming up in the next hour. Later this hour, the John Bolton charges, the classified material. Do you remember when John Bolton, who did serve as a period of time in the first Trump administration as national security advisor, until Trump realized, this guy's wacko, I don't want him anywhere around me. And do you remember when John Bolton was condemning Trump and everyone else except Biden and everyone about hiding classified materials, and now he's facing 5 years in jail, $2 million fine for doing exactly the same thing? We're not going to let that rest. That'll be coming up as well in this hour, and we'll get into more detail as well. The story behind the story today, our normal feature that appears at the 6 o'clock hour now, at the end of each hour, near the 6 o'clock hour, first hour. On this date, the attempt to kill Robert Kennedy. He was shot on this date. He died the next day, 25 and a half hours later. But there's still a lot of questions about Sirhan. Why did he do it? Did he even know what he was doing? Government operatives put something in his hand, in his blood, to make it happen? The story behind the story on the Robert Kennedy assassination before we wrap up this hour. Now back to this hour. Senator Cruz questioning Secretary of State Rubio about dealing with Iranians and trying to help the Iranian people, and he raised a question, valid question. Rubio had the answer.
For some time, I have urged the administration, I've urged Israel to arm the protesters in Iran. I don't think it is fair to expect the Iranian people to stand up, protesters to stand up with rocks against soldiers with machine guns. Are we arming the protesters, and should we be?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any program to arm civilians in Iran to overthrow their government. I mean, there may be other countries doing it or other elements, but certainly not the U.S. government.
And we know that we apparently are helping the Kurds, arming them so they can go back into Iran, which was originally Persia. So to that extent, we're probably doing that, but supposedly not directly arming them. This is back to the Reagan-Contra issue when we were arming the Contras to go against the government. So he's on record. Cruz was told by Rubio, we're not doing it, not to my knowledge. Now, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, which has not really been in support of the war effort, made this statement.
I've said for a long time and argued for a long time that sanctions in and of themselves rarely, if ever, are of any value. I've yet to see any Chinese behavior that's changed because of sanctions. I've yet to see any Russian behavior change because of sanctions. I've really yet to see any Iranian behavior change because of sanctions. However, sanctions do have some leverage and ability to exact change if you remove them. So the removal of sanctions actually might actually have some hope. So I support the administration in this. Now, there are many Republican critics who have been vocal on the airwaves recently saying, oh, no, we can never negotiate with them. These are terrible people. Well, you don't really negotiate with really friendly, good people. You're, you know, in a time of war, you're going to have to negotiate with an adversary. So I do commend and supportive of the idea of this. And the other thing is, it's very verifiable. You don't have to wait for verification. You could say the trade sanctions end as soon as we get the 440 kilograms of enriched uranium. Now, it has to be dug, I guess, some of it from under a mountain of rubble. But at the same time, be very verifiable.
In other words, he's basically in support of what we're doing. And I'm glad he took to the floor of the Senate during this congressional hearing, Senate hearing, with Secretary of State Rubio to make that clear. I'm glad he did that. But we do have the naysayers on the other side. A question is raised, and on one point, I'm going to give her credit for raising the question. But then she persists she wants to go wacko, which is very common. California Congresswoman Jacobs questioning Rubio.
Yesterday, in your Senate testimony, you told Senator Booker that the war in Iran is over. This is news to me. It's also news to my 2,500 constituents, Marines, San Diego Marines in the Middle East off the coast of Iran, the other of my constituents who are deployed there, and the thousands more of my constituents who have 48-hour deployment notices whose families are still very concerned. But okay, I will take you at your word. If the war is over, I have a simple question. Who won?
First of all, Epic Fury is over, which is what you would consider the war. That operation is
concluded. So you agree it's a war, then?
No, those are hostilities. They called it a war.
Okay.
I'm just responding to the Senator Booker's
question. Mr. Secretary, you can change the name of the operation. It doesn't change the fact that the strait is still closed and my service members and all of our service members are still in harm's way. The war is not over. But I'm agreeing with you. Okay, fine. We're taking you at your word. The war is over. Who won?
Well, first of all, you're not taking me at my word. It's a fact. We're no longer conducting sustained strikes inside of Iran to degrade their military because Epic Fury is over. The second point is on the question of who won, I can tell you this. We defined victory. We defined victory as destroying their defense industrial base, significantly reducing the number of missile launchers that they possess, significantly reducing their stockpile of drones. And we achieved all of those in addition to destroying what they had left of an Air Force and wiping out their entire conventional Navy. Those are all gone. So I consider that victory, and we did too. And that was the purpose of Epic Fury.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? That's not enough to satisfy the Democrats. And during one of the hearings, you're hearing yelling from Democrat and even storming out of the room.
Unfortunately, Representative's time has expired. Representative Salazar is recognized.
Yes. And giving contracts with no transparency is exactly the reason why you shut down USAID. So practice what you preach. I yield my time.
Oh, she gets to scream now, too?
Chairman, can we take down her words?
I'll give you some time. I'll give you some of my time. Let me just...
Okay. God, what kind
energy.
Of thing is this? What is this? You get asked questions for 5 minutes and you don't get time to answer. It's not a hearing.
I think you said clown
like
show
a dunk
before.
Tank? What is this?
I don't have to tell you. I don't.
I've even used their time. How can I answer the question? They don't even give me time. I've had to use their time to answer your questions.
Yes.
Okay. All right, whatever.
All right, so I don't need to tell you that in my community, the city that I represent, the city of Miami, you're one of the most illustrious representatives, and that we're very proud of you, not only the Cuban Americans, but the Hispanic Americans in my community.
Why is she leaving? So I'm going to answer her questions.
I will.
Oh, she's going. Okay, I got it. Well, thank you for coming.
They cannot stand facing the facts, can they? Turn their back on it. Walk out of the room. Leftists have locked themselves into a cage, and they continue to do so. I want you to listen to Massachusetts Congressman Moulton being questioned on CNN about supporting Graham Plattner.
When he was just in Washington, though, meeting with Democratic senators, seeming to want to allay concerns about his candidacy, they asked him, what if there is more? And that is a question. What if there is more? Is that... Do you think that would then be too much for Graham Plattner to continue?
I mean, we just don't know. We just don't know what more can come out. But I do know this, that he's running against a senator who every single day rubber stamps Trump's agenda. A senator who, just like 98% of the Republican Party, supports this war in Iran that's raising everybody's gas prices, that's getting Americans killed, that's killing innocent people in the Middle East, that's hurting our allies, that's taking our eye off the ball when it comes to deterring and preventing a war with China in Asia. So all of these things that Susan Collins does every single day are bad. And I think voters in Maine are going to have to make a decision that only they can make, weighing those two alternatives.
And the congressman from Massachusetts will not condemn Plattner for being a Nazi, and yet he's one of the ones hollering that Trump is a Nazi, and they're willing to accept it because we just have to take the bad. We just have to swallow and vote. I'm not the only one saying that. On The View, I'm sure many of you watch that with all those women. On The View, Sonny Holston had this to say about Graham Plattner.
Yesterday, I was sort of on the fence. I'm like, character matters. Morals matter. I can't believe that this is the person in Maine that's going to, you know, take on the Republican, take on Susan Collins. I'm now convinced that we are really in a bad place in this country. Democrats have to take over the Senate. They have to take over the House. They have to bring some semblance of normalcy back to this government. And if it takes getting behind someone like Plattner, which 51% of voters in Maine say that they will get behind him, as opposed to 42%. If I lived in Maine, I would hold my nose and I would pull that lever and I would vote for him.
And I would just eat his dog stuff that he leaves behind. That's how much we want to defeat Trump. They were willing to accept everything they blamed Trump of doing. They're willing to accept every bit of it. Graham Plattner, declared Nazi, has said denigrating things, I should say, against blacks and homosexuals, and yet they're willing to go ahead and, okay, that's the best we got. Van Jones of CNN pointing out the other day, Democrats have very poor candidates because of Donald Trump. They're blaming Trump because they can't find good candidates. They are in a cage, as I said. Coming up, we're going to talk about Bolton's classified documents charge. And don't forget our story behind the story. The assassination of Robert Kennedy and a lot of questions about, was Sirhan doped up by someone to go carry out that killing? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think a lot of these documents he may have just thought were cool. A lot of them he thought might be souvenirs. A lot of them he thought might be useful to him later. I can't answer the
question until I
see the document. But there are a lot of theories that he could use it as information against his enemies, that he could give it to people in exchange for favors. We don't know. And frankly, I don't think speculating about the reasons is all that helpful. The simple fact he had the documents for any reason or no reason should subject him to prosecution.
For any reason or no reason, he should be subjected to prosecution. The words of John Bolton, who had been for a period of time the national security advisor for Trump in the first administration, till Trump booted him, saying, you're just too crazed to be in my cabinet. And then later, when the Mar-a-Lago raid took place, where all the documents were laid out perfectly on the carpet, you really think they would have left like that? You know that event was staged. You know the video was staged. And, of course, all of it had to do with the alleged Russian collusion, which we now know was fake. But John Bolton, who was cuddling up to Trump so he could get that national security advisor position, once he was cut loose, he's showing his true colors. I had one of my guests the other day describe Bolton as the swampiest of the swamp creatures still there. John Bolton, of course, is now facing his own issue with classified documents. And you just heard him say, for any reason or no reason of having classified documents, he should be prosecuted. Let me track this back a little bit for you. Right now, Bolton has a plea agreement with federal prosecutors. He's going to plead guilty to one felony count of retaining national defense information. The 77-year-old could get a maximum sentence of 5 years in jail and a $2 million fine. Now, this is all set for the arraignment hearing June 26. I doubt he's going to get a full 5 years. They'll give him I don't know if they'll put him behind bars at all. I hope to hell they do. But he's going to plead guilty to that, so they're going to drop 17 other transmission and retention counts he was initially indicted in. Now, this transmission of classified docs, that really interests me, and I don't know a lot more about than what we're seeing presented to us. Supposedly, Bolton was writing all of this stuff in a personal diary seen only by his wife and daughter. Now, maybe he sent a text saying, look, at here's some of the information I'm going to include in my diary. Classified documents. He was sending diary-like notes containing classified information to two family members via email and messaging apps. That's as close as we're getting to an understanding of what did he do as transmitting. Well, that's still enough. That's a violation. I'll go back to John Bolton's words. For no reason or any reason, he had these classified documents. He being Trump at that point, he should be charged with violations. And again, before his own indictment, Bolton was one of Trump's most vocal critics anyway concerning the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case, constantly on cable news, demanding the Department of Justice, quote, move as rapidly as possible to prosecute Trump. And blaming that Trump's defense, claiming he magically declassified documents, was meritless and argued the handling provided or proved severe negligence. I've yet to see him complain about how Biden had classified materials all over, didn't know where half of them were, some stacked in his garage next to his prized Corvette, which Hunter Biden had access to. We don't know what he got into those files and what he took out or what he left or what he photographed and then put back. And, of course, Biden was apparently also using classified documents dealing with a biographer to write his biography. We still don't know all the details of that. In the meantime, dealing with fraud that affects you directly, money out of your pocket, not government secrets that, and I'm not going to say everything is classified should be. I mean, I do agree the government overclassifies a lot of material, just trying to CYA in some cases. But when it comes to your money, and when you look at, like, Minnesota in particular, the fraud that was taking place, stealing through the SNAP program, supplemental nutritional program to help families, especially mothers and children, to get money and food. Ag Secretary Brooks said, we did everything we can to bust it all up, and yet she is getting pushback from a Minnesota Democrat Congressman Craig.
Because according to USDA,
your state is saying we only have 1.6% fraud rate, which we all know is an absolute joke.
I'll say it again. The USDA's own data found 1.6%. I don't know.
No, we were relying on your data from Minnesota, and you won't share it with us.
I don't think you understand the difference between error rates and fraud rates. I honestly don't. It is one of the lowest fraud rate in any program in America. Is the SNAP program.
The lowest fraud rate of any program in America is the SNAP program? You can't be serious when you say
that. Your own data says 1.6%,
Again,
Madam
that's
Secretary.
Because the states, your
Reclaiming
state has told
time
us that number.
Once more.
And you won't allow us to confirm it.
You've bragged on TV that it's a great thing that you kicked 4 million people off SNAP.
The ability to work, the righteousness of work is not...
Reclaiming my time, 700,000
kids. We should be proud.
Kids.
That's the goal
look,
of these
look,
welfare programs.
Madam Secretary, I'm asking you these questions because these issues, this committee, it's all personal.
You're not
to me.
Asking questions for an answer. You're asking questions to make a political
reclaiming
statement.
Reclaiming my time again.
I would like to actually have a real
my
conversation.
Mom was, Madam Secretary, Mr. Chair, she talked over half of my time here. So look, when you describe the farm.
See, you kicked 4 million off the SNAP rolls. Well, they never should have been on there. Some of them were dead or should have been 125 years old. And some didn't exist at all. Or they had actually been put in graves. And they were all on there. That's fraud. And then rather than the Ag Secretary being praised for cleaning it up and protecting the money of Minnesotans and the nation as a whole, gets pushback from a Minnesota Congressman, woman Craig, saying you're mixing up fraud and fudging numbers and everything else. She's just, again, trying to sell you a lie. AG Secretary Brooks was basically breaking apart all the fraud. White House counsel Stephen Miller says the task force that we originally put in place continues to do its job.
I think you can all agree that this is the fastest in history that a government task force has traveled from creation to action. Your typical lead time is going to be a year of meetings before anything happens, and that's if you're lucky. And within weeks of this task force being established, we've seen the largest ever slate of indictments, recovered funds, search warrants, raids, seizures, investigations, and new legal actions to stop, disrupt, and prevent fraud. What we've learned, which is not surprising to those of us who've spent some time in this area, is that fraud is every bit as bad as President Trump said it was, and even worse. So in other words, everything we found either confirms our worst fears or exceeds them. That's the bad news. The good news is that the best team in government under the leadership of Vice President Vance has been assembled to deal with it.
Yeah, and doing a damn good job. And in a rapid pace. You know, I began at the top of the hour mentioning about how CNN and NN could not ignore a record pace of jobs added to the payrolls of private industry. Even Axios is pointing the same thing out, saying that the job market booms with 172,000 May jobs, unemployment holding steady. They have a separate article, May's blowout report shows a boom like new job space. All of this is good for America. And it affects you regardless of what your color is, your religion, your ancestry, even if you're a gender that doesn't exist. But you're not going to hear the left praise it other than having to report the facts, and they don't like doing that. You know that. In the meantime, Hunter Biden is trying to come back into place. He's trying to charm all of his trolls, everyone that comes after him. Again, this is from Axios. Or actually, it is Axios this time. Talking about how Hunter Biden is really trying to get all those who have been against him to kind of like him again. I don't care. Not going to get it. Not going to get any favoritism and appreciation from me. Now, Madonna, I will appreciate for her music ability. I will give her credit for that. But the rest of her life, like many other actors and entertainers, is wacko. She just posted a bizarre video of herself crawling around on all fours in front of her toilet, letting her breast hang out of her dress, smoking a cigarette to issue a Pride Month message. Nothing says Pride Month celebration like Madonna on all fours in front of her toilet. Good God. They want you to believe they're sane? Of course they're not. Coming up, the story, behind the story. The assassination of Robert Kennedy and questions about Sirhan Sirhan, which still have not been resolved.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles, on June 5th, 1968, headquarters for the Robert Kennedy for President campaign. Victorious in the crucial California primary, Kennedy addresses an enthusiastic crowd in one of the hotel's ballrooms.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
As he turned and went by me, he turned to the right toward the kitchen.
When he did come through, lots of television cameras and stuff, and we were going into a press conference.
He was shaking hands with the two busboys, talking with him, and it was at that time that the shots started.
Major D reported that Senator Kennedy had been shot.
He's been shot?
That's right.
I just heard this crackling noise and was shaking violently, and I thought I was being electrocuted. That was my impression.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible?
I saw him laying on the ground, and I knew that he wasn't going to live.
Everybody else, just please stay back. Just a doctor. Come right here.
25 and a half hours after he is shot at 1:44 a.m. on June 6, Robert Kennedy dies.
So the story behind the story today, it was on this date, 1968, that Robert Kennedy was shot, and no one could believe it. I mean, his brother, who had been president or assassinated, and now Robert F. Kennedy, as he's celebrating a victory win and getting ready to claim the Democrat nomination, hopefully, going forward. That was some of the reporting from Boston WBZ. TV. I always want to give you the source where I see it available. Kennedy was a U.S. Senator candidate in the 68 Democrat presidential primaries. He had won California and South Dakota primaries on June 4, so he was addressing his campaign supporters. They're in the Ambassador Hotel and Embassy Ballroom. They were ecstatic. And when he left, they were cheering and jumping and yelling and all shouting. And then word came back. He's been shot. He was exiting after leaving the podium, going through a kitchen hallway, taking time to shake hands with some of the kitchen workers. There were numerous witnesses.
Following the shooting, there is little doubt in anyone's mind that 24-year-old Sirhan B. Sirhan, using an 8-shot, 22-caliber revolver, was the one who killed Kennedy and wounded five others. There were 77 people in the pantry that night, witnesses. He was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death. An open and shut case. Or was it? Greg Stone has spent over a decade looking into the Kennedy assassination. He is one of a number calling for a reinvestigation of the case. A call based on seeming inconsistencies in the physical evidence and on a belief that the original investigation is flawed. A belief that is remarkably shared by former LAPD Sergeant Paul Sciarraga, the first police officer on the scene the night of the shooting. When asked if he thinks there has been a cover-up inside the LAPD,
I would have to come to that conclusion.
If there is a cover-up, the question is why? To hide a conspiracy or to conceal slipshod police work? Who really shot Bobby?
Who really shot Bobby? Now, again, that was part of the WBZ report. Why would there be so much question about it when there were so many witnesses? The man they grabbed immediately, pushed into the ground and said that he did the shooting, Sirhan Sirhan, a Palestinian Christian who had strong anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian beliefs. And he did testify in his trial in 1969 they'd killed Kennedy, quote, with 20 years of malice aforethought. Convicted, sentenced to death. Later, his sentence commuted to life in prison with the possibility of parole. That was in 1972, and his parole has been denied numerous times. And that assassination of Robert Kennedy gave a decision from the U.S. Secret Service to extend security to protect presidential candidates. And here's the issue. Knowing that it was his brother who had been assassinated while president, that should have been just automatic, but the U.S. Secret Service wasn't doing it. In fact, there was a request several times for the Secret Service to extend their security to protect presidential candidates. With the Robert Kennedy assassination, they reinforced that, and then the Secret Service started doing so. But the History Channel was taking a closer look at the history of the man convicted of the killing, Sirhan Sirhan.
Sirhan Sirhan, a 24-year-old Palestinian immigrant, was quickly apprehended for the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Yet, remarkably, after his arrest, the gunman claimed to have no memory of his murderous rampage.
Sirhan was glassy-eyed and essentially unresponsive after he was arrested. He was completely placid. He didn't seem to have any idea what had happened, had no idea why he was arrested. It was definitely strange.
The last thing he can remember, earlier that evening, Sirhan was having a cup of coffee with an attractive girl who was wearing a polka dot dress in another part of the Ambassador Hotel. After that, it's a blank until he woke up with people jumping on his head and trying to wrestle the gun from his hands. A succession of psychiatrists and psychologists, both for the defense and for the prosecution, examined Sirhan. They all accepted that his amnesia was absolutely genuine.
They accepted that his amnesia lost was credible. Funny that he could recall having coffee with a woman in a particular dress, but didn't seem to know what had happened moments after the shooting. The question has been raised repeatedly. Was he brainwashed in some way? His legal team argued that he was placed in a hypnotic Manchurian candidate-style state where Sirhan has constantly, consistently claimed he had no memory, and yet in his trial he said, I do recall, as I stated a moment ago, to read exactly what he said at that time as he testified in his trial in 1969 that he killed Kennedy, quote, with 20 years of malice aforethought. But those around him said he's not reacting like somebody that has just killed Robert Kennedy. And they even acknowledged that. Did he or did he not know what he had just done?
A succession of have psychiatrists and psychologists, both for the defense and for the prosecution, examined Sirhan. They all accepted that his amnesia was absolutely genuine. And many of them said at the time of the shooting, Sirhan was acting under post-hypnotic suggestion. In other words, he had been hypnotized and was shooting as a result.
Sirhan was convicted of first-degree murder and is currently serving a life sentence. But is it really possible to hypnotize someone into becoming an unknowing assassin? Well, from 1953 to 1973, there was a shocking top-secret CIA program that seemed to have explored that very question. Its codename was MK-Ultra.
The MK-Ultra program is a very weird moment in American history. And the aim of MK-Ultra was to find out how far you can manipulate the psychology of individuals and get them to do what you want them to do. How deep it went is very uncertain. But that there were people in the CIA who had this aim is a matter of historical record.
But there's documented evidence that that Malta program did exist. So how much of the suspicion is true? Again, there's documented evidence this kind of stuff was taking place and our government was conducting it. So, yes, there's more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
In the early 1950s, the CIA was deeply interested in combating what they perceived as mind control research by the Chinese and the Russians in particular, and they embarked on their own program to explore the mind. But in the course of this research, the U.S. government made efforts to experiment with so-called brainwashing of individuals through a variety of means. One was hypnosis, and the other was the use of psychoactive drugs. LSD in particular was proven to be highly effective at putting people in a state of mind where they could be post-hypnotically or otherwise suggested to take violent action. Somebody who, without fully knowing what they're doing or even knowing at all what they're doing, can go out and kill.
In 1973, CIA Director Richard Helms ordered all MK-Ultra documents to be destroyed. But just 4 years later, a Freedom of Information Act request led to the discovery of around 20,000 secret files that managed to survive the purge. And while the true extent of the CIA's mind control program will never be known, is it possible they actually created a brainwashed assassin?
Now, among the MK-Ultra documents that survive, we have a report, an internal report, in which a woman under hypnotic control, who had previously expressed a morbid fear of firearms, took a gun, held to the head of another woman, and pulled the trigger. And then subsequently had no memory of what it was that she had done. Now, this was all just a test in clinical circumstances, but it was, by their accounts, done. Which sounds, just for the sake of argument, eerily like what Sirhan Sirhan claimed, that he had no memory of what had been done.
Now, again, the gun the woman had picked up, and she was fearful of even touching a gun. But supposedly, according to that document, she did pick up a gun, put it to the head of another woman, and pull the trigger. It did not fire, obviously, but she would have done it. That's, again, part of the History Channel examination on Sirhan Sirhan in the background. I want to give credit to the History Channel for that. Was he brainwashed? Now, again, at trial, he admitted he had hatred for Kennedy for years. Again, he is a Palestinian immigrant. Notebooks he had, or at least were produced for the prosecution, showing repetitions of RFK must die. His defense argued those were products of hypnotic manipulation. He said apparently he was also enraged by Kennedy's plan and pledged to send jet bombers to Israel to help them fight the Palestinians and others trying to attack them. All of that makes sense. Up to the point of, did Sirhan Sirhan, on his own will, carry out the assassination? And that brings another point into play. He admits, of course, later in court that he did fire the gun. But forensic and witness evidence has also fueled speculation. There was a second, yeah, here we go on the Hill assassination in Kennedy, of Kennedy in Dallas, a second unidentified gunman. Autopsy reports indicating Kennedy shot at close range from behind. Several witnesses who were there say Sirhan was standing in front of him. So the story behind the story has no resolution. Just another big question. I hope you enjoy this part of Larry Connors USA. It's a daily feature in our 6 o'clock hour. If you're new to the program, tell your family and friends about it, and then pull up podcasts or previous programs. And then push share. Send them to your family and friends. By the way, program note for you. Monday, Jamie is taking some time off, so Larry Connors USA will air at noon on Monday from noon to 2. The rebroadcast of that same program will appear in this time frame from 6 to 8 Monday. But you can catch the first presentation starting at noon on Monday, June 8. Hope to have you here with us. And the story behind the story Monday, the plane crash that killed Missouri Governor Carnahan. He had been in town earlier that day for a fundraising event. In fact, I went to the event to talk to him, not trying to pledge money or anything, but I considered we were friends and friendly, and with his sons as well. And I saw them, and then I had to go back to the station. Then later there was a report of a plane crash. And then word began to come out that it might be Carnahan. I said, until we can confirm it, we're not going on the air with it. So there's a lot more to the story behind the story. That will be Monday. Second hour still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuire Moving, MKUltra.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And, of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And, again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.